And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day. Is there new land? Is there new land? Plus, we examine the good, the bad, and the ugly. Ooh. We're also going to dive into something called About Face. About Face. And then finally, we're going to close it out with We Can, If We Don't, Can't.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. Growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Christ, and his life turned around. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experience with as many people as he could. Then he found K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, not for the rest of this hour. Entertainment and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866 K-Praise. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio, and that should be obvious by now. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego. Short break, and we'll be back. Stand by for SRN News.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. President Obama imposes sanctions on Russian officials and intelligence services. The State Department also has kicked out 35 Russian diplomats from their embassy in Washington and the consulate in San Francisco, giving them 72 hours to leave the U.S. The president imposed the sanctions in retaliation for Russian hacking of American political sites and email accounts ahead of the November election. James Lewis, a technology and security expert at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, says sanctions are a powerful response from the U.S.
This is the biggest action the U.S. has taken against Russian intelligence activities since the end of the Cold War.
A spokesman for Russian President Vladimir Putin says Moscow regrets the new sanctions that the U.S. has imposed on Russia and is considering retaliatory steps of its own. A spokesman also says Russia was not involved in the hacking. Also at SRNnews.com, a ceasefire agreement is said to be in effect in Syria, brokered by Syria's rebel fighters, Turkey, and Syria's chief ally, Russia. Foundation for Defense of Democracy's President Clifford May says there's a troubling aspect to the peace talks that are expected to follow.
Notice that the U.S. is not part of this. Notice that Turkey and Russia decided the U.S. is irrelevant to what's going on.
The truce comes after a six-year civil war that has left more than a quarter million people dead and triggered a refugee crisis across Europe. A powerful nor'easter is poised to move into northern New England. Bob Orovec is the National Weather Service lead forecaster.
An area of potentially heavy snows across parts of eastern and upstate New York and into central and northern New England. And an area that has seemed to have the biggest impact will be central and northern New England, where we do anticipate snow totals of over a foot.
A winter storm warning has been posted for much of Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont. This is SRN News.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins shared his thoughts on the importance of politicians following the law.
We've got to raise the bar again, raise the standard of what is right and what is wrong, what is acceptable. We've got to go back to abiding by the law. The lawlessness of this administration, I'm afraid, is going to be felt for years, the ramifications of it. And so I think we got to have it. I don't care if I don't want a Republican who's going to go beyond the limits of the law just to do the things that I would like, because they're conservative. It's got to be within the confines of what is lawful, what is legal, what is ethical. We've not seen that in this administration.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
I've heard that when one is having a difficult conversation with another person, the best way to get them to listen to reason is to season your words with a bit of flattery. Now, I'm all for showering others with praise when it is appropriate and well-deserved, but I would not recommend flattery as a means to an end. However, I would recommend what Paul suggested in the book of Colossians: season your speech with the salt of grace, and not just a little. Graceful and kind words will go a long way toward helping two people find the common ground they're searching for. And this is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's gracious words on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. That's Route66Life.com. Route 66, start your journey home today.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Also, our Facebook, The David Spoon Experience. The, don't forget that part. And then additionally, hisappointment.com. Hisappointment.com. Okay, we're going to go through a series of segments that have a lot to do with the up and coming new year. So there are a lot of people, we don't do a ton of time sensitive material, but this would probably be one of those. And we're going to be looking at the new year, 2017, we know there's going to be some things that will take place. We'll have, for certain, some political upheaval. There'll be some really sharper attacks than there were in 2016, even though we don't have a presidential election. What we have is the aftermath of a very contentious presidential election. So you're going to see a lot of political biting on each side. You're going to see Christians being continually vilified by non-Christian, worldly, secular, progressive type of people, or people that have self as the center of their universe or are steep in sin. That's going to take place. You're going to see a grand perversion of scriptural truth, attempts to deny Jesus Christ. You're going to see all of that. Plus, you're going to see some fantastic moments of people doing wonderful things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, sacrificing, giving, loving. Perhaps in your own fellowship or church, your own group will, you know, take this next step up in the journey, and you guys will go deeper in your relationship with the Lord and further in your communication to the people around you. Remember, the church is not a retreat center for Christianity. The meeting place is supposed to be the making place for the marketplace. You're hoping that your church is the place that you fill up, and then you expend that fill up in your processes throughout. It's just a place that should be refreshing, not a fortress to withdraw from. That should be the right mindset, because the church was never thought of as, you know, the place to hide. It shouldn't be that way. I think it's important to recognize there'll be a lot of up and down. And, you know, some people say, well, is this the year the Lord's going to come back? Well, you got about 365 days once the year starts to find out. It could be. Maybe. Maybe not. Well, it can't be because of this. Sure. Well, it has to be because of this. Sure. Whatever you guys say. In the meantime, you live as though the Lord is coming back tomorrow. You live as though the Lord's not coming back for 100 years. You try and hold that intention. It's the best you can do. So I just want to talk about facing the new land. It started off with Numbers chapter 13. By the way, this is called Is There a New Land? Coming out of Numbers chapter 13 has to do with the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, going through the wilderness, and, you know, going from the wilderness, you know, into the new land. Numbers chapter 13, verse 1 through 2. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. And that's it. That's the promised land for Israel. God said you need to do some exploring. Now, in 2017, there may be some new land that God has for us. There might be some new land for this show. New territory we as a show need to go into and do some exploring. There might be something specific. I'm not saying there absolutely has to be, but there might be something specific that God has in mind just for you. And there might be something specific he has in mind for you and me and the church at large. I'm sure in 2017, the Lord will have a message of encouragement, certainly, as it is all throughout his word, to endure and to continue to advance the kingdom of God. There can be little doubt. But for some people, there may be a new land. And I want to talk about that. The exploring of a new land. Because what will happen is you'll get through this year, and we're in the close of the year, so this is the end of 2016, and there is already a group out, and we talked about this briefly the other day, that they're just saying it's good riddance day. They just want to be done with it. So what they're doing is they're just like, you know, wiping themselves clean with everything that happened in 2016. Well, if God answered a single prayer for you in the entire year, you better not wipe everything clean from 2016. It means he did some good things in your life, powerful things. Maybe he challenged you to walk closer to him or to be more like him. Maybe he challenged you in different ministries this year. That's a good thing, right? You don't forget that. In 2017, you might find this, that there might be new locations for some of you. You might sit there and think, I've been in my house for 30 years, Dave. I met somebody at a men's meeting that had been in their house for 32 years. The Lord moved them. Don't tell me God can't do that. They weren't even planning on it. It just all happened. Sure it did. By the grace of God, it all happened. Maybe there'll be some new faces that you encounter, new people that you meet that you've never met before. And you'll have an opportunity to express the love of Jesus Christ in their lives, and maybe they'll speak encouragement into yours. You know, perhaps for some of you, you'll be stepping into a new profession. It's not unusual for people to get into January and go, you know what? I want to do something different. I've done this for years and years. Now I want something different. You know, people do switch careers now a lot more than they used to. It's true. But we have that opportunity to do that. Maybe some of you are just hoping for a closer walk. Amen, brother. Amen, sister. I'm for that one. Maybe there'll be some divine appointments in your life, where God leads you to somebody specific and important, or them to you for a deep purpose, maybe life-changing purpose. And perhaps you'll be involved in kingdom work, and you'll find yourself more involved in ministry. Or if you're in ministry now, you'll find out, oh, there's a whole other layer to kingdom work I got to get involved with. Some of you are going to find some realization of some hopes. It's going to happen. Some are going to find purpose for their lives. You're going to find out why you were created. This will be the year that it makes sense why your creator created you. Some of you are going to have some hardships and some disappointments and some pains. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that God's against you. It might be that time in your life where the Lord's saying, hey, these challenges are important for you to become more like Jesus. You might not want to hear that. I don't know anybody that wants to hear that. But it could be that's the time. I don't know what it's going to bring for you. I don't know what it's going to bring for me. Here's what I do understand. I can know who's bringing the new year. I can know who's bringing 2017. I can tell you right now, it's not a president. It's not a premier. It's not a prime minister. It's not a king of earthly means. It's the king of the universe. It's the Messiah. It's the Prince of Peace. And I might not know what's coming in this next year, but I can know him who's bringing next year. And before you ignore that so quickly, you better be aware of this. Whatever is going to take place in the next 365 days, whatever is going to happen in your life, the Lord is not unaware. He will not be caught by surprise like you will. So if your focus is on him, that's a good thing, right? If your focus is on you, that's more challenging then, isn't it? So what we're going to do is we're going to do the process. I know we forgot to do the sound. I'm sorry. We're going to do the process when we get into the next segment about talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because each one of those three has a position in your life next year. Interesting, huh? Well, when we get back, we'll cover it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break, and we'll be back.
From the San Diego studios of K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ, this is the David Spoon Experience.
This is John MacArthur inviting you to join me for Portraits of Grace. After Peter had preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people became believers. Soon after, thousands more were added. Those new believers decided not to return to their former homes. They were in Jerusalem for the feast, and they stayed. So the believers in Jerusalem had to absorb the visitors into their own homes and meet their needs. Now, that greatly illustrates Jesus' command to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. But just what is your treasure in heaven? Well, it refers to being generous and ready to share the wealth God has given to you with those in need, particularly your Christian brothers. Paul said that you are to be rich in good works, generous, ready to share, thus storing up for yourself the treasure of a good foundation for the future. Invest in eternity by investing in your brothers and sisters who have need, and you'll never lose your reward.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da Ai Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The David Spoon Experience continues on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We've been discussing whether or not there's a new land. There's going to be something new that takes place for people in 2017. We're going to cover in just a second good, bad, and ugly, just in just a split second. I just want people to be aware. If you want to send me an email, you're welcome to davidspoon@kprz.com, especially if you got questions about your faith that you're just trying to figure out. I don't have all the answers. I am not the Bible answer man. The Bible answer? I'm not that guy. I just have a point of view. I'd be glad to share it. If I don't know it, I'll research it. And if I can't help you, I'll send you to somebody who can. That's the one thing I do have is relationships around the community. That's the one cool thing. I will say that in this up and coming year, there's going to be a lot of new things taking place. Some will be good, some will be bad, and some will be ugly. All right, that's from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
One of the all-time great themes.
Yeah, I mean, come on. So we couldn't miss that in a million bazillion years. So we talked about the children of Israel being told to explore the land of Canaan, which is the promised land. Let's go into this next step several verses later. Verse 26 and 27 out of Numbers 13 say this. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert, and they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. That's the good, right? They went into the land of Canaan, the different spies. There was one spy from every tribe. It was 12 spies that went into the land. They came back and they went, wowzer! That is some kind of land. I mean, they had fruits that were so big, they were carrying them on sticks between two shoulders to show the wealth of the land. A land flowing with milk and honey. So, you know, there's a lot of people that you should be aware that the Lord is going to do good things in your life in certain capacities. Not the way you might determine them to be good, but the way that God determines them to be good in this next year. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 gets tossed around a lot. It gets tossed around a lot out of context. The passage that I'm talking about, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. It's an awesome scripture for a plaque, by the way. It is a fantastic scripture for a plaque. But the general context in application is the return of Israel from them being in bondage for X amount of years, 70 years. But it doesn't eliminate what we call the dynamic application principle, the DAP. And the DAP is a dynamic application principle is in biblical hermeneutics. That passage could still have direct impact on your life in this upcoming year. It doesn't have a direct passage every single time you look at it, read it, and it's just going to change the universe because you go around, you know, saying it and jumping up and down on a pogo stick. But it does have application. And this year could be that year where things are good. The future's good. Things go well. There's a lot of new. There's a lot of fresh. There's a lot of renewal. There's nothing wrong with anticipating and hoping for that. That's a good thing. Listen, if the future was supposed to be bad, you wouldn't be going to heaven. You can't make that any clearer. If the future is supposed to be bad for the children of God, then don't read the book of Revelation where there's streets of gold. Because that's a future and that's good. Right? You can't deny that. The whole point is to spend eternity with God, and it's good, because God is good. The future is good. It's with God, it's good. But with the future that is good, let's be honest, there are always obstacles. So now you have the good, that's future's good. Now we've got the bad. And what's the bad? The obstacles. You're like, what obstacles? Verse 28 and 29, that same text we were reading. But the people who lived in the land, they are powerful. And the cities are fortified and very large. And we even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in Negev. Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in all the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. They came back and they said, the land is wonderful. The territory is wonderful. The fruit is wonderful. It flows with milk and honey. But there are really big people there. So on one hand, they look at the future and they say it's good. And on the other hand, they look at and they go, but these are huge people. These are enormous obstacles. And they are in this pathway. Even if your future is super califragilisticexpialidocious, you're going to have obstacles. Okay? I don't have to be prophetic or anything else to tell you, dude, you're going to have things happen. Things are going to go great for a lot of people. That doesn't mean you're not going to have obstacles. It doesn't mean you're not going to have challenges. You're going to have that. The future is good, but there's always obstacles. In Jesus's perfect life, how many obstacles were there in his way? Just think about how many people opposed him, how even the weather got goofy. Just think of all the things that he encountered. Didn't let any of them stop him, but they were nonetheless obstacles in the pathway. The future is good, but there's always obstacles. That's the good. That's the bad. Now I want to bring up the ugly. See, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I want to bring it up because it's important to bring it up because too many people are doing the, I'm ignoring that part. And you can't afford to do this. Jesus made it clear you can't afford to do this. Paul made it clear. All the writers in the New Testament, all the writers in the Old Testament made it clear you cannot afford to do this. You cannot afford to forget a reality that's in this process. The good is the future. The bad is the obstacles. And the ugly is the enemy. And the enemy hates you. It doesn't dislike you. This isn't like political disagreement. This isn't like, oh, you know, people that freak out because one person voted for Trump and one person voted for Hillary. That's nothing. This is somebody that wants to see you suffer for as long as he's been suffering and will be suffering because God loves you. This enemy wants nothing but the worst for you. When you signed up, you got the best friend in the world. You also got the worst enemy there was. He doesn't want to hurt you only. He wants to crush you. And that's a reality that you're going to have to deal with in 2017, that there's still an enemy. Yes, greater is he that is us than he that is in the world. Yes. And this is the, I mean, this is 1 John 4:4. Yes. But there is still an enemy. And every New Testament writer tells us to be alert and to be aware and to be in touch and to be connected. Because while there's good things and while there's obstacles, there's this other element that goes beyond human obstacle into the spiritual realm. And he's your spiritual enemy who's bent on his mission, is bent on making your life as terrible as possible. And for those that are out there going, well, there is no real devil, then my response to you is, well, then apparently you don't believe in a real Jesus either. Because you can't toss out what Jesus taught or what the scripture declares. So there is new land that you and I are going to encounter in this next year. And in that new land, there is good things that will be coming down the road. And there's going to be obstacles that will be coming down the road. And there will still be the enemy. God has not removed Satan from the realm of existence yet. He has not removed him and cast him into the lake. He's still around. He's still active. He's still creating mischief and creating problems. And he's doing it in the church and outside the church and everywhere he can. But his favorite target are the people who call themselves by the name of Christ. And that's you. That's not to scare you. That's to prepare you. See that difference? It's not to scare you. It's to prepare you. So when we get back, I want to talk about how we're going to go through this then. What's the best way to go through this, knowing there's a new land, knowing there's the good, the bad, the ugly? How do we do the about face and get it right We'll discuss that when we come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KPRZ AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break.
The David Spoon Experience continues on KPRZ 1210 AM KPRZ.
To wrap up 2016, we wanted to look back at some of the most talked about Breakpoint commentaries of the year. So today, here's John Stone Street with First They Came for the Florists. From the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, here's John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
In 2007, Iowa enacted a law prohibiting discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. The law applies to what are known as public accommodations. Now, federal law typically considers public accommodations to be facilities like restaurants, hotels, movie theaters, retail establishments, and parks. But recently, the Iowa Civil Rights Commission added something atypical to that list, church services. In its provider's guide, the commission offered an answer to the question, does this law apply to churches? With a resounding, sometimes. What follows is troubling. Iowa law provides that these protections do not apply to religious institutions with respect to any religion-based qualifications when such qualifications are related to a bona fide religious purpose, it says. I say troubling because implied in that statement is that the state gets to determine what is and what is not a bona fide religious purpose. And what follows that goes from troubling to outrageous. Where qualifications are not related to a bona fide religious purpose, churches are still subject to the law's provisions. For example, a child care facility operated at a church or a church service open to the public, which, as the Alliance Defending Freedom rightly pointed out, encompasses most events that churches hold. If the commission interpretation stands, then churches and any service open to the public would be prohibited from doing or saying anything that would directly or indirectly make persons of any particular gender identity feel unwelcome in conjunction with church services, events, and other religious activities. And given the almost limitless capacity for people to take offense or feel unwelcome, this would effectively ban sermons or other religious instruction about traditional Christian sexual ethics. This is what the Supreme Court famously dubbed a chilling effect on the freedom of religion and of speech. Now, if you're wondering, how is this even legal? You're not alone. Paul Gowder, who teaches constitutional law at the University of Iowa, told the Des Moines Register that any attempt to regulate the content of sermons is blatantly unconstitutional and absurd on its face. And that's why the ADF, representing two Iowa churches, has filed what is known as a pre-enforcement challenge, which challenges the constitutionality of the measure before it even takes effect. Now, let's hope and pray that the ADF prevails. But even if they do, it's a sobering reminder of three things. First, this didn't happen at the Supreme Court or even in left-leaning Washington State. It happened in the heartland, in Iowa. Religious freedom is in a precarious condition. Second, it shows how wrong those who insisted, oh, they'll never make pastors do this, or they'll never make churches do that, really were. The state of Iowa is pretending to arbitrate what counts as a bona fide religious purpose. Everything a church does should have a religious purpose, especially outreach. That's why every church service is open to the public. Finally, it brings to mind Martin Niemöller's famous line about failing to stand for others until there was no one left to stand up for him. Too many pastors failed to stand up for the freedoms of people in the pew because, well, they weren't bakers or photographers or florists. And the pastors assumed they were safe. Clearly, they aren't. The unprecedented attempt to regulate religious speech in Iowa shows the lengths to which enemies of religious freedom are prepared to go, proving it was never about cakes or photos in the first place. And before I go today, I just want to say thanks for listening to Breakpoint each day as we address the most important topics of our culture from a biblical worldview. Without you, we couldn't be on the air. So as 2016 comes to a close, would you help us end the year in the black? To find out how, just go to breakpoint.org. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
Local, national, and heavenly talk for San Diego on the David Spoon Experience from KPRZ 1210 AM KPRZ.
Every time you say you love me. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at KPRZ AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Quick reminder, you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. We have got a lot of things lined up for this up-and-coming year on the show. Perhaps the Lord will give us grace and we will encounter the majority of them. We will certainly do our best in that process as we move forward. And that is something that we're going to talk about because, you know, moving backwards is not really doable. You can look backwards. We'll talk about that next week. You can look backwards as long as you're looking with purpose and intent for the kingdom's sake and for drawing closer to the Lord, but you can't live your life looking backwards and looking at the regrets and looking at this and looking at that. None of that's going to help anybody. That doesn't heal the past. That doesn't change the past. All it does is rubs your face in it again and again. And there's a point in your life where you got to go, okay, that's enough. Sometimes we can let bitterness be so intense that it destroys any future plans because we're so caught up in what we thought should have been, could have been, and would have been. So don't be a one of the bins. Don't be a could have been, should have been, would have been. Hey, can we add that line? That's a good line. Don't be a could have been, should have been, would have been. Don't be a bin. Okay? That's not the way that you're supposed to walk it. All right, so we're talking about new land, and we've discussed that in the earlier segment. The second segment, we got into it and talked about the good, the bad, the ugly. Future's good. Obstacles are bad. I mean, they're part of it. It's like the bad part of it. And then there's the ugly, which we were referring to the enemy. So the question is, how shall we then face what we're about to encounter? How do we then, knowing there's new territory, knowing some things are good, some things are bad, and somebody, some enemy particular is ugly, how do we approach that? The answer actually is in the very next verse in the original text we're using, in the Numbers chapter 13 section, in verse 20, it's once the people said, well, there's obstacles and we don't know. In verse 30 of Numbers 13 says this, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Listen to that. Verse 30, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. So it's a simple question. Because we know that there will be obstacles, and because we know there is an enemy, how do we face these things that we're about to face, which is why the section is called About Face? And the answer is we need to face our futures with confidence and not with fear. You and I need to face this up-and-coming year with confidence and not with fear. Listen to that verse again. Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. There should be a confidence in our partnership and in our connection with the Lord that we are able to face the future with the Lord and not be afraid. You don't want to be afraid of what's around the corner, so know him who is bringing the corner, and that way we can face that with the confidence. I want to deal with the truth for a second. Just give me a few moments, give me a little leeway just to talk about a passage that should instill confidence in you and I. And that's Romans 8, 31 through 37. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him
loved us. Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. Will these separate us from the love of Jesus Christ? No. Through all of these things, we are more than conquerors. See, it doesn't say you are survivors. It says conquerors. It says conquerors, not survivors. We're more than conquerors. Through Jesus, we can get through everything we're going to face. Nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. No trouble will separate us. No hardship will separate us. No persecution will separate us. No famine will separate us. No nakedness will separate us. No danger, no sword will separate us from the love of Christ. In every one of these things, we're more than conquerors. We're not just survivors, we're prevailers through the Lord. And that's the attitude you and I better have going into this year, or this year is going to swallow us whole. There's going to be more ridiculous stuff thrown at you in your eyes and in your ears and your sensors, sensory perceptions, than you have ever encountered before. And you and I had better be closely connected to the Lord so that we are able to encounter whatever's in the new land. There's good in it, but there'll be some bad. We know there's going to be ugly, but we can face that with confidence and not with fear. My simple question is this: when you wake up in the morning facing this next year, are you afraid? Or are you ready? Are you confident or are you fearful? Nothing can separate you and I. No hardship, no persecution, no trouble. Three separate words, by the way: trouble, hardship, or persecution. They don't all mean Christian persecution. Sometimes they just mean trouble. You know what trouble means in the Greek? Trouble. Can't separate you. You're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. So we need to look at that future and go, I'm going to do this holding God's hand. I'm going to walk with him and I'm going to believe. And whatever the good is, I'm going to pull it out. I'm going to use it. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to own it. I'm going to love it because it's what's going to sustain me. Because I am promising you right now, as a brother in the Lord, the enemy's going to throw stuff at you. The world's going to throw stuff at you. Your flesh is going to throw stuff at you. Going to happen. Luke chapter 12, verse 32 says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." God is pleased to advance the kingdom of life. You can't advance the kingdom of God in your life and through your life and with your life. So you can face that future with confidence. You don't have to be arrogant. You just don't have to be knocking your knees together. The enemy is big and the world is bad, but God is bigger, and quite essentially, God is badder in the good sense of being bad, if you know what I'm saying. In other words, the Lord can cover this. Love what that one pastor said. Well, Dave, you and God, that does make the majority. That's like, okay, well, that pretty much solves that one. The idea is to get it. Don't face your future with fear. Face it with confidence because you face it with him. Is there a new land? Sure. There'll be good, there'll be bad, and there'll be the ugly. But you can face that the right way. When we come back, I just want to finalize on this one element that we can if we don't can't. You'll see what I'm saying when we return. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. Sweet little Sheila, you know
it, you see her. Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on K-Praise 1210 AM KPRZ.
My wife, God bless her, is always cold, and I stay hot. Seems like all the time. Hi there, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Is it hot or is it cold in our home? Well, just depends on who you ask. If it's 80, she's probably pretty cold. I'm burning up. If it's 70, I'm just about comfortable, and she's got on a winter coat. You get my point? The thermostat can say the exact same thing, and I think it says hot, and she reads it cold. That's true about our moral thermostat, too, isn't it? If there's no standard, then anything can be hot. Anything could be cold. And I think that's a pretty risky way to live.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
Sometimes we want to tackle things on our own, like fixing a leaky toilet or duct taping a small crack. Other times we need to skip the do-it-yourself attitude and get somebody who knows what they're doing so the job gets done right. Excalibur Roofing gets the job done right for new roof construction, old roof replacements, and repairs. With over 20 years of experience, an active member in the BBB, licensed and bonded, and testimonials from people just like you, Excalibur Roofing is your knight in shining armor. There's a big difference between a general contractor and a roofing contractor. You want a roofing contractor like Eric at Excalibur Roofing. Otherwise, it's just like going to the family pediatrician and saying, Doc, I need some brain surgery, so just pull out that scalpel and get her done. Not a smooth move. Get it done right. Just call Excalibur Roofing at 760-743-8803. That's 760-743-8803. Or go to their website at excaliburroofing.com. All estimates are free. Call Eric at 760-743-8803. Remember, Excalibur Roofing, they've got you covered.
There's much more to be gained by being taught by those who've gone before us. This is Jim Garlow. We can learn life's hard lessons from those who've raised their children, walked through difficult times, trusted in the Lord, and achieved life's goals. Proverbs 16:31 indicates that gray hair is a crown of glory and is gained by a righteous life. Men and women with gray and white hair have wisdom to share and have earned and deserve our society's respect. And at the risk of being misunderstood, one does not have to retire at 65. Assuming health continues, most people can be quite productive far beyond that age. With the additional decades comes additional wisdom, a wisdom that needs to be tapped into by every child, youth, and young adult. Perhaps a good New Year's resolution. Be well-versed in this and other significant issues at jimgarlow.com.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, APRZ.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at K-Praise, AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Quick reminder, if you want to reach the show, davidspoon at kprz.com is a great way to go about that. We've been talking about new land coming up for the new year and looking at that and seeing whether, you know, whether there's new land and if there is, and there is for many of us in many different ways, you know, whether it's going to be good, bad, or ugly, or in fact, all three, which is the most likelihood of all. But in doing that, there's a way to face it. There's a way to approach our future, and that's with confidence and not with fear, especially knowing that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. I want to close this out with an understanding how that doubt combined with discouragement can create disillusionment.
Ooh.
It simply comes out of the rest of this passage, the passage we've been talking about in Numbers chapter 13. We've been talking about verses 1 through 2 and then 26 through 33. Here it is, that doubt, listen to what I said, doubt combined with discouragement can create disillusionment. We're going to get to the key in a second, but here it is, verse 31. The men who had gone up with Caleb said, "We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are." That was the response of the spies. Caleb and Joshua said, "Let's go. Let's go take the land. We can do it." But the rest of the spies says, "No, we can't." And so some of you are out there and I'm saying, hey, you can face your future with confidence and not with fear. And somewhere in the back of your mind, you're going, "I can't. I can't do it." And that just shows you the enemy's already working. He's already working.
It's interesting that we understand passages like, according to your faith, so be it, even if that faith is bad. Here's the key that you and I need in order to see and believe that the new land is something we can face with confidence. Did you hear what I said? I'm going to give you the key that will enable you to utilize, you know, you understand that the love of Christ, you cannot be separated from the love of Jesus Christ, no matter what the trouble, no matter what the hardship, no matter what the persecution. I want to give you what I would consider to be a big key to operate with as you face this year. Just one of the big, big keys, like a tool to use. It's a very simple question. And a very simple answer. And this is the probably what you want to note on this. The question, well, who are we that we can face the future with confidence and not with fear? And the answer is, we are children of the Most High God. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, it says this. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The key tool to facing this next year, knowing there's new territory, knowing some of it's good, some of it's bad, some of it's ugly, knowing that we need to face it with confidence and not with fear, is recognizing who you are. You're a child of the Most High God. Your dad is at the center of the universe as king and ruler and sovereign. And you are a child of his. And that's how you get through the up, the down, and the entire process. We can do this if we don't live in the can't. The way you get out of living in I can't do this attitude is to recognize who you are. You know, it's a horrible thing for me to say this to Christians, but it's absolutely true. You are in the family of royalty. Your dad's the king of the universe. That makes you princes and princesses. I mean, it's like you can't get away from that. And you want to get through it? Oh, Dave, it's a tough trial. It's going to be hard. You're right. Can be really, moments can be very difficult. I agree. Some moments will be fantastic. Some will just be spiritual warfare. But you can face it with confidence and not with fear, because you have in your life the greatest family ever, brought together by a father, connected together as a blood relatives of Jesus Christ, and empowered and drinking from the same Holy Spirit. That is a lot of good family connection. You got people that can pray for you and with you, watch this, all over the world. People that you've never met will pray for you, because you're a brother or a sister in the Lord. The reason that we can endure is because who we are. There is not an earthly or demonic or fleshly trial that God cannot help you in. And there's nothing that you can encounter that he will not be right there with you. As my brothers and sisters, I encourage you to tap the one key truth to help you face this future with confidence and not with fear. I encourage you to tap into the fact that you are a child of the Most High God, he who rules and reigns in the universe. That's not just the earth. That's not just your world. In the universe. Brother and sister, remember who you are.
You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on K-Praise AM 1210, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. We've come a long way.